Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Yes, thank you for joining us. This is Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works, Danny Pommels and Paul Hudrick here. And we are hanging in there. Hope you are as well. We are practicing our social distancing. We're both isolated in our homes. And it's not as bad as it seems. Things could be worse. We are healthy and happy and excited to be bringing you another edition of Sixers Talk podcast. Paul.
Danny, I'll admit that I'm getting a little weird. It's getting, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just getting a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Just a little weird.
How many times can you walk past that same chair or that same stool or, you know, look out the front door and then come right back in or whatever?
My dog is loving life right now because he gets so much attention. And here he comes on cue. And he's just, this is just amazing for him. He's just getting so much attention. The time of his life, gets to walk whenever he wants. It's great.
If I could take a minute to pet ourselves on the back, and namely our producer Ben Berry, because you know it's not always easy to come up with topics for a podcast where the sport you are discussing is not available, but we continue to do so. One of the cool topics we will discuss today is if you were quarantined with 176er, who would it be and why? We will touch on that. We will touch on a few other things, namely your top five quarantine snacks, which Paul Hudrick, I can guess what his are, but I'll say.
I might need a qualifier too.
We'll get to that, as well as the ceiling for Matisse and Shake Milton. Who has a higher ceiling? What are their ceilings? I found out an interesting tidbit that I'll share later, as well as changing one move in team history. What would that be? That was an easy one for me. But there are other ones that we actually, you and I, discussed on social media briefly that I also wanted to bring up. But let's talk about this quarantine thing, man. I put the question out there as a little teaser for people to kind of be alerted that a podcast was coming, although we appreciate the numbers and people chiming in and as well as commenting and subscribing to the podcast and the 5-star ratings that continue to come in. But I put it out there about which six you want to be quarantined with. I put my pick out there, which would be Joel Embiid, because I'm banking on unlimited Shirley Temples and a lot of food. And maybe not necessarily the food that's going to keep you in tip-top shape.
You think he's sharing, though?
My boy put out $500,000 to the people Philadelphia 76ers for COVID-19. So I think he has a very generous soul, but I think the grub, but let me get her proper handle down because she deserves credit for her funny comment. But one of the people who chimed in has something interesting to say, and it was Candy Month Bug. Shout out to her. She's just a girl that loves her dog, and she's a big Kit Kat fan. But she mentioned that she would want to be quarantined with Ben Simmons. Because he's at the candy room, bro. How can I forget about the candy room?
Right. That's brilliant. It's
the
so
candy
true.
Room and the video games. And I don't know if everyone out there has seen it, but it is worth, because you are probably staying at home and are listening to us and trying to be abreast of all things Sixers. Ben Simmons gave people a tour of his downstairs playroom area or what have you, and it was pretty macked out.
Legit. That candy room, it looks so legit.
Surreal, honestly.
What's in the candy room? Because I don't know.
Everything, honestly.
Yeah, like no, he just has like it looks like a candy store, Ben. Like it legitimately looks like a candy store. Like he just has like these little things set up that you just like get like you just dispense candy out of.
Yeah, like
he's a big sour like gummies and like that kind of stuff.
It's not like, you know, those machines where you got to put the money in. It's just like go for what you want.
A dispenser.
Just have at it type thing.
So, Paul, I got to put it on you. Who's your guy? Who are you quarantining with? Which Sixer do you feel like will give you the most optimal quarantine excitement? Is that what we're looking for? Excitement?
I think it's just, I mean, not to
safety.
No, I was going to say, not to be too over the top about it, but survival, just like mentally and physically, like feeling like you're good. But I got a little bit of an outside the box one, but I put a lot of thought into it.
Let me hear it.
Josh Richardson.
Josh. Now, he has been doing the fake runway, you know, the fake game fits
at, yes. at his crit.
He has been putting on, you know, like what he would wear to the game and like walking to his car and walking back in the house.
But here's what it is about Josh. A couple of things. One, on the team, he is one of the bigger personalities. He's a fun fella. Like, you know, he knows how to have fun and knows when to take stuff seriously. And then on top of that, his music taste is pretty eclectic. He listens to a little bit of everything, and I dig that because I'm the same way. I listen to whatever. Whatever tickles my fancy that day, I listen to. And he's a musician, so he plays a little. Like, he does, like, you know, he's got a piano.
The DJ stuff.
And he messes around with that. Like, he's very, like, again, very eclectic with that, his musical taste. A big cereal guy. I'm sure you've seen that. So he's got a nice stock of cereal, which I'm a big cereal guy as well. Plus, like, he's 27. He's mature, but he's not too serious. And he's like a single dude, so like he still would want to have fun. Like, he wouldn't just want to be serious all the whole time. So, and then on top of all that,
he did put a lot of thought.
I know. And on top of all that, he's coming from Miami, so he's got D Wade stories, he's got Pat Riley stories, he's got Spo stories, he's got Udonis Haslam stories. So I'd want to hear all about that. So I think, as far as I think, Josh Richardson would entertain you, but I also think he would be good with, like, you know, I just think it would be an equal part of keeping it real, but also be entertaining.
My boy hunkering down with Jay Rich. I think that's kind of what I put my thought into with Joel as well. Is just maybe we would get a little bit of the social media trolling, like the petty stuff. Like, maybe we would get into a little bit of that and have some fun, you know, like poking people and whatnot with Joel. So I definitely feel you on the Jay Rich. You know, him having like stories and whatnot, because you got to pass the time, right? We got to figure out how to
exactly
we're passing the time. And at this moment, we are uncertain about how much time that will be to pass. So I like your pick, bro. A little bit out of the box. Not what I expected. I can see Ben, though. Jay Rich. Is there a Sixer who we would not want to quarantine with? Let's flip that around.
Well, well, it depends, because how are we look? It depends again on how you're looking at it.
Well, like, I'll go first.
Is it just me and the player, and that's it, or am I also taking on their baggage as well?
I think if you went with the bachelor status with Jay Rich,
exactly.
I think we have to take them in their situation as well. So it's
that's what I'm saying.
Me, Joel, and his fiance. You, Jay Rich, and his significant other.
He's got the dog too. Jay Rich has got the dog. His dog Champ. So that's another thing that would appeal to me.
His dog is what? He's got like a German Shepherd or something like that.
It looks like a mix, but it's like it looks like a German Shepherd, but looks like a fun dog.
aggressive dog. So we got, and just to put it out there for full disclosure, Sham Sharania. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Is it Sharania? I got to be honest with you. I believe it's Sham Sharania.
I'm proud I got Wojnarowski under my belt and Antetokounmpo. So I'll work on Sham's last name. I have met him. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Not like I know him or anything, but I just introduced myself. We talked a little bit. But
cordial. He's a cordial guy.
Yeah, definitely. But point being is Shams did a nice just getting to know Jay Rich, basically, just talking with him about how he's handling the suspension of the season. And he got into a bit of that cereal stuff, and we got to see his dog in their little Q&A. So if you want to pull that up on social media or stadium or what have you, check it out. But Jay Rich is a good pick. Definitely a guy who easy to talk to, always has introspective responses to your questions and whatnot. Like, a sharp dude. He's a sharp dude.
Yeah, clear. For sure.
But we're kind of burying the elephant in the room. The question is, who is the guy you don't want to be with?
if we're taking on baggage, listen, I gotta say Al.
That was what I was gonna say too.
Yeah, well, listen, he's married, he's got kids, and like, you know, and no disrespect to Al, but Al's like a pretty
laid back, reserved.
Yeah, and he's like a serious guy, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean he's got like that's just the way. Like I couldn't imagine like.
Yeah, you're level headed. Like, he's level headed. It's too much.
Yeah,
going
exactly.
On.
It would be like I need a little excitement. I need something. I need, and I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know what Al's like into. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, and that's a sincerity thing. Like, I don't know. He drinks chocolate milk. I don't know what else.
You know what? They say opposites attract. Paula Abdul taught us that. But I think that just based on my perception, and obviously this is just outside looking in, but I think maybe his wife is a little more the pizzazz in the relationship, and he's a little bit more of the even keel, straight up and down part of it. You know what I'm saying?
That wouldn't surprise me. Just
no,
not at all.
And
again, it's not a negative. It's just people. Everyone different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Man.
So, but maybe you know you step into the Horford household and you get to see a little bit of the layers. You know, peel back a little bit and. They definitely got to have a lot of snacks, you know. With kids, snacks come with that, bro. A lot of snacks.
Free chocolate milk, I'm sure. Probably lots of chocolate milk.
If I had to pick someone that I would not want to be with during the quarantine, it sounds so bad, but it'd probably be Al, man. I'm gonna keep it simple. I was gonna probably stretch it a little bit and try to say somebody else, but. Probably be Al, yeah.
It's not disrespect to the man. It's just a situation.
You know who's underrated for me, who I might want to spend time with during the quarantine? And that's strictly from our interaction with him and seeing how he is with the team, with, you know, the Popeyes biscuits and the ribbon Matisse and how other players react to him is Kylo Quinn.
I think I
would have some fun. Chilling with Kyle. We hit the yoga in the morning.
Exactly.
To all the March Madness stories. And we mentioned this on the last podcast, but his Players Tribune piece, reading that definitely made me feel like there was something there that you know, because he's very deep in a lot of ways.
He's very interesting, like human, just to talk to. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think I'd enjoy that. But you're holding up well, though, as much as possible during this quarantine, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just trying to keep myself busy, we've been writing a lot. We've been putting a lot of content out, trying to keep busy doing that, so.
Dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. Paul, you are doing a lot of good writing, touching on a lot of topics. We're rolling out this 76ers versus Phoenix Suns 2K game sim at 6 o'clock on NBC Sports Philadelphia today, followed by a 7 o'clock one-on-one between Matisse Thybulle and Mikal Bridges as they go head-to-head on 2K. And you're going to write a piece on the sim, Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little fun with it. I mean, spoiler alert, I already know how it ends because I already have it ready pretty much. But yeah, I try to have a little fun with it. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, video games, like, some of it's just like, and like, the funniest part was, so I'm listening to it. And it's just spoiling one part of it. But, like, you know, like, so the commentary is the commentary from.
I mean, it is the Phoenix Suns, so come on. Like, you know, the Sixers. Right. Should take care of business in this.
Well, I'm not gonna tell any of that, yeah, but it's the commentary is the actual commentary you get in the game. So it's Kevin Harlan on the call, who is great, obviously, even in a video game.
Right.
And then his color guys for this game are Greg Anthony and Clark Kellogg. And at one point, because they're playing the Suns and they're playing DeAndre Ayton, Kevin Harlan asks Greg Anthony to compare DeAndre Ayton to someone, and he says Joel Embiid, and I literally laughed out loud because I'm like, no, come on, even for a video game, this is a bad take. Nope.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton to Joel Embiid. Nope.
Take it with a grain of salt, man.
Nope.
A video game, right?
But he said it. But he still said it, and right. It was like clear, like he said it. So it's like if I have a 2K guy telling me, hey, man, you need to say that you need to compare DeAndre Ayton and Joel Embiid. I'm like, hell no, I'm not doing that.
Right. I do want to tell you that Acme is immediately hiring employees for their stores and distribution center to serve the increasing needs of communities during this uncharted time. If you or someone you know is looking for an exciting opportunity, Acme is currently hiring at every store location, including the distribution center. Go to acmemarkets.com/careers. Talking about the 2K sim, which is coming your way on NBC Sports Philadelphia at 6 o'clock, the Sixers, and I don't know if anyone has seen this. We'll try to walk you through it a little bit, but the Sixers were picked to win the NBA championship. They did a 2K sim of the postseason with the Sixers playing the Pacers in the first round, and I mean, there's really no other way to put it, but it was just a flat-out dominance. Based on the, well, this is all we got. So I don't need to say take it with a grain of salt, but everyone understands this is a video game. But the Sixers with some dominance, a sweep in the first round, a sweep in the second round to the Toronto Raptors, and then the Celtics somehow reached the Eastern Conference Finals over the Milwaukee Bucks, winning that series 4-1. So, I mean, I don't know how you even quantify some of this, but
you don't. It's just
you just had to stop me. You had to stop me, right?
Listen, and I get, like, we're all desperate for sports and everything and simulations. Yeah. I get it, and that's why we're airing it, and it's fun. Like, it's a fun thing. Yeah. But, like, there was a play in this game where, like, Kelly Oubre literally just dribbled the ball straight out of bounds. Like, yeah, it's right. Just, like, it is what it is. Like, it's fun. It's fun, and we all have fun with it, but, like, you know, that's...
It's a video game. Yeah.
Exactly.
Only thing that was realistic or worth your time probably is the fact that they faced the Lakers in the finals, which is definitely a feasible finals matchup if you think the Sixers have what it takes to rally themselves once the postseason comes around. And just remember, it's always worth noting that Ben Simmons was someone who was on the shelf for the end of the regular season, most likely, maybe the start of the first round, considering his shoulder injury.
Back injury.
So the Sixers are getting healthy during this time. This is benefiting them in a way. But Sixers Lakers matchup, you could see the Sixers winning that poll. That's how the 2K sim had them coming out on top against the Lakers. You see the Sixers winning that? You're having trouble. You're having trouble committing to that idea.
The Sixers are the most confounding weird team to maybe ever exist in the history of the NBA, because they have beaten every legit good team in the NBA at home. Every one of them. They've beaten the Bucks. They've beaten the Lakers. They've beaten the Clippers. They took 3 out of 4 from the Celtics. They beat the Raptors at home. Like, they've beaten everybody at one point, but then they've also lost to bad teams. So, like, to even – and to your point, Dan, like, this long layoff, it's – there's a chance it helps the Sixers more than any team in the entire NBA just because of Ben Simmons getting healthy, Joel Embiid getting healthy, Al Horford getting healthy and rested. So this – it could benefit them more than anybody this break. So I don't know. I have no idea what to expect when they all come back and they all start playing. I don't know. Maybe the idea that it'll be a sprint and they have to have that focus every single night, maybe that'll benefit them. Or maybe it won't be good for them. I don't know. Like, it's just of all teams, they're the most impossible to predict.
I think the weirdest thing, because Joel Embiid is the best player in the 76ers to me. Him having had past conditioning issues and then asking him to come return to the season and reach that same plateau in a quicker fashion, I think is asking a lot. So I think that's the biggest thing. Like, when you look at the lockout when the Spurs won, I think it was like 58-game season or whatever it was, they were still able to practice. They were still, like, able to keep their conditioning and things like that, where this is just unprecedented, where players are losing a lot of the conditioning they had, particularly the basketball shape, which is different than being in shape, but basketball shape. So, what does that even look like? How quickly do they hit the ground running? You know, is there a training camp? Is there, like, what do we do to kind of reshape the season and reignite the season and hit the ground running? So I think that's the thing where the Sixers might suffer the most. I know everyone is going to suffer from that, but specifically the Sixers haven't had past, conditioning issues with Joel Embiid.
Well, with Joel, that's the issue. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a legitimate concern. But everyone else, like, I think it's going to benefit literally everyone else on the team, you know? Because they wouldn't even have Ben, I mean, at this point. You know, like, they would still be playing games without Ben Simmons. And I do think the NBA is going to have something. You can't just, like, play a playoff game from day one. There's got to be – whether it's some kind of training camp or whether it's like a couple scrimmages or exhibitions, like, they got to do something. Even if it's like they did the blue and white scrimmage, like, even if it's like two of those just to get guys rolling again, like, they need to do something. You can't just get these guys cold playing playoff games. It just can't happen.
Do you have any concerns, even though the last thing we heard from Ben Simmons was him saying that he felt strong and felt like he was getting to the point where he could play? The fact that he has only played 5 minutes since the All-Star break of NBA basketball, does that worry you considering the situation we're in now?
I would say no, only because he's 23
Never
years
shown
old.
A problem. Yeah,
he's 23 years old and he's a freak. I mean, he's playing, you know, when he's healthy, he's playing over 40 minutes a game. I mean, he's one of their – this injury is rare. He's one of their most durable players that plays a ton of minutes, never seems to look – like, hey, think about this, Danny. Have you ever watched a game that Ben Simmons is playing and thought, he looks a little tired? I've never seen that. And I've watched Ben Simmons play pretty much every – actually, I don't think it's pretty much Ben Simmons play every game of his career. I have never looked at him and said to myself, man, he looks a little winded. Even games when he's played 40-plus minutes, I've never seen that.
You know what, bro? That thought has never even crossed my mind. Just the fact you mentioning that right now is the first time I've ever thought about him not being conditioned. And I think I've taken that completely for granted all throughout from day one. I've never even thought or considered that. And, you know, now that you're saying it, I'm kind of thinking toward, like, I've seen Russell Westbrook breathing hard. I don't think I've ever seen Ben breathing hard.
Like he barely breaks a sweat out there. Like, seriously, damn, there are games. Bro, like,
that is a great point. It's never even crossed my mind. Shout out to his conditioning that he is in that tip-top shape, that he's running at full speed on the balls of his feet up and down, like, the court.
Think about that Brooklyn game where he had the 34-point triple-double. He's playing top-notch defense from start to finish in that game. He's playing 1 through 5. He's guarding centers in that game, and he was dominant throughout from the first minute of the game to the last minute of the game. He was completely dominant, and like you said, it almost looked like he didn't break a sweat out there.
Bro, that's such a super solid point, because it's never even crossed my mind until now about his conditioning or him being out of breath or overworked. I have considered that looking at the box score, but
right,
never have,
sure,
have my eyes been on him, like, man, get him out the game or what have you. So
whereas with Joel Embiid.
but on the flip side, you can say the same for Matisse Thybulle, a lot of the dude who's always in tip-top shape. And for me, when you look at a guy like Matisse, a great segue into our next topic, where a guy like Matisse, a guy like Shake Milton are two guys who, I don't know. I know Matisse figures into this team's future. I'm curious how Shake will figure into their future. But if you had to take a pick between those two guys, both playing vital roles or potentially vital roles for this team down the stretch here, I think obviously Matisse has a more defined role. But which of those guys has a bit higher ceiling to you as far as their NBA career?
For their entire career, I'd still say Matisse. And I'm not exaggerating. He has defensive player of the year potential. Like, I think he can be that good. What I didn't realize, so I knew watching him at Washington and the zone, I could see the traits and I could see how disruptive he was. And I didn't think that was just because of the zone. I thought, yeah, like, this guy has really good instincts, really good anticipation off the ball. Like, I knew the steals and blocks. I didn't think that was a mirage. I thought that was going to translate. What I was surprised by is how – and I thought he could play man. I know that was, like, a big question by some people. But I thought, like, yeah, this guy has the feet, has the athleticism to play man defense. But how good he already is at that as a rookie. And one of the only things he has an issue with this season, really, to me, his only real flaw on the defensive end at least – is the propensity to pick up cheap fouls. And as he goes on, like next year, he'll have already built up this rep as being a guy who's really good defensively. So the more he's in the league and the more he's doing that, the less, the better he's, it's going to favor him with officials. The officials are going to know him and say, all right, this guy is, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt of more of those calls. So I think as that goes on and as he just gets smarter and better and knows these players better, I think he has the potential to just be so elite defensively. And he's a worker. He's not going to be content with his offensive game being what it is. I think he already has the makings of being a strong shooter, and I think it's only going to get better. I think he's a really good athlete, and he's explosive. So I think he has a chance to be a good slasher and finisher at the rim as well. So to me, with him, I just think like his floor is three and is just a really good 3-and-D guy, and his ceiling is much higher than that.
I think that I agree with you on a lot of that. I think on a team, he will probably have the prowess and you will look at him and see he will pass the eye test as far as his defensive abilities. I think he'll always be in Ben's shadow in that regard because Ben's just a bigger name. And if Ben is playing, if the team is playing high caliber defense and Ben is at the forefront of that, then even if Matisse is also playing at the same high level, Ben's going to get the all-star nod. He's going to get the recognition and things like that. So I think that he might be a little in Ben's shadow in that regard. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute. And I'm going to say Shake has the larger ceiling because I feel like if you look at Matisse and what his role is, it is defined defensively. And like you said, his offense has to come around where in actuality, he's older than Shake, even though being a rookie. Matisse is older than Shake, I think, by a year. I think Shake's born in 96. Matisse is born in 97.
They might be the same. As far as school goes, they were the same age because right. Shake came out after his junior year and Matisse played all 4 years. So they're if they're around the same age, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, they're around the same age. I'm going to just double check. Matisse is March 4th, 97, and Shake is September 26, 96. So, yeah, they're both 23. So I just feel like Shake, let's just say he's on a team that needs a combo guard or scoring or something like that where he doesn't have to fight for minutes as much. I think you would see a lot more of the G League Shake than what you've seen. Maybe not the Clippers outburst Shake who, you know, hit seven threes and 39 points or whatnot, but I think he's a guy that could average about 20 points a game, 17, 18 points a game.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Think about if he was on like those process Sixers teams and he's coming out with the green light every night, bro, he could have been filling it up. So I just think as far as his skill set and the, you know, that Tim Duncan and that even keeled, you know, stoic, just a man about his business. I just think that part, you know, and I don't know. I think that Matisse will come along. You know, you mentioned those defensive fouls and the reaching in and stuff like that. In the Pac-12, he had a glorious reputation, which he earned because of and probably got the benefit of the doubt on a lot of those calls. He was probably quicker than a lot of guys and could reach in and you know, take advantage of those future accountants and lawyers and doctors and what, you know what I'm saying? Like these aren't guys who are going to have professional careers where he is. So I feel like what I'm trying to say is I think that the knack of being, you know, in the passing lane and reaching and things like that, I think that's like the opposite of Shake's stoic nature because he's not as, you know, jittery is not the word, but he doesn't like take those types of chances, whether it's offense or defense. Like he's being deliberate about the decisions he makes and things like that, where Matisse takes more chances. So this is like a risk factor in there that I think that Shake is more measured in his decisions, where Matisse is more like he's about to set it all. Like he's a powder keg, like he's ready to blow at any time, which obviously means a lot for teams who are trying to, you know, come back or get a punch off the bench or get a offense inflecting into the team. But I'm going to say Shake, bro. I feel like Shake has that offensive versatility that teams value. And I think Matisse might have a longer career, but Shake has a higher ceiling.
I'll say that, you know what? There is a possibility that Shake could have the higher ceiling with this team, only because he's got skill sets.
Brett Brown told him he doesn't have a role here.
I know. Well, listen, that was for the rest of this season. That wasn't right. And that was before he, you know, went nuts.
Right.
But I just think the skill set of a guy that can run a pick and roll and create and run the offense and then also just hit an outside shot, that's such a valuable thing that this team
reminds me of a little Drew Holiday, bro.
That's a big comparison. And you think about it, his role could be perfect for this team as a backup point guard, but then also a guy that can play with Ben either on or off the ball. He can run a pick and roll with Ben, or he can play off the ball and let Ben do his thing and spot up. So, I mean, I think
as far as Shake's ceiling is, let's I think this is a good comparison, not to interrupt you, but as far as 3-point percentage knockdown shooter, we know Matisse the 3-and-D. We've seen Shake. Who do you think has the better 3-point shot between these two guys?
Shake, 100% Shake. And it's not just based off what we've seen this year. Shake for his college career shot over 40% at SMU.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me qualify it, because what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to play off your idea of playing alongside Ben. So if we're talking about Ben driving and kicking, would you be more comfortable with Shake catching and shooting or Matisse catching and shooting?
Shake. Because Shake just – and, like, what I love about Shake, too, when you watch his form, and Noah Levick pointed this out to me, and it's so true. Like, and it goes with his, like, demeanor. He is never rushed. Like, his release isn't slow, but just when he takes a shot, like, it's not rushed. Like, he just sets up. If someone runs at him, he'll give a pump fake, calmly dribble. Like, everything's just so calm and smooth. And I think he is just already he's already a better 3-point shooter than what Matisse is right now. And I think he's just, I don't see any reason why he can't get better. I think Shake Milton has a chance to be a elite NBA 3-point shooter. Like, I think he's can be a 38% to 40% kind of guy. I don't
see
why.
So who has the higher ceiling then?
I still say Matisse, because Matisse has the ability to be a game-changing defensive player, like one of the top defensive players in the league. I don't think Shake is going to be one of the top 3-point shooters in the NBA, but I think he's going to be really a 38 to 40% guy. There are a lot of those kind of guys. There aren't a lot of guys to me that could be a defensive player of the year candidate, which I think Matisse could be at some point down the stretch of his career.
Have we done a good enough job of giving, we've given Brett Brown credit for Furkan Korkmaz? Does he deserve some credit for Shake Milton's development
I think the whole coaching staff deserves it, and he put the coaching staff in place. So I think, and also too, not beyond that, who drafted Shake Milton?
Yeah, I feel you.
Brett Brown did.
My point, though, I think, is that when I think about Shake, I think of him more as a self-starter. Like, oh, man, he had to fight his way out of the G League and then fight for his minutes and overcome the injuries. I never really considered it as, like, man, they've done a great job developing him as opposed to developing on his own. You know what I mean?
If you ask Shake Milton, he'll credit Connor Johnson, who is the head coach of the Bluecoats, who was on Brett's staff who then gave – him the job of the Bluecoats, and Connor Johnson gave him the ball and said, and let's be real too. This isn't Connor Johnson on an island deciding things. He's deciding things with the benefit, you know, with input from the organization and what he thinks is going to benefit the Sixers in the long term. And that was to give Shake Milton the ball and let him develop. So that's the other thing I think we have to think about too. I don't know this for a fact.
What?
But if Shake Milton doesn't have that time with the Bluecoats where he is the focal point of their offense, do we get this version of Shake Milton that we're seeing? I don't know the answer to that. We'll never know the answer to that. But there's a chance that that time with the Bluecoats and developing in the Sixer system down there, that is what propels him to have this current run.
And we see Mario Shayok following in a lot of those footsteps, man, as he is the G League player of the year for all intents and purposes, depending on how things play out here.
In fairness, Mario Shayok is older, I think, than Jake and Matisse.
Right. Hey, just man. Saying. Right.
I'm not saying that he can't be something, but I'm just saying that. Yeah.
Hey, bro, Terrell Stokes played at Simon Gratz when he was 20 years old. So then went to Maryland and balled out. So, but interesting conversation, man. Going to be great to see those two dudes develop. As a whole, it is great to just have pieces in the Sixers pipeline that are, you know, coming into their own. Like, it's just something that we haven't seen or enjoyed as much as we would have liked over the last several years. And particularly here in this time, and, you know, NBC Sports Philadelphia showed that, what was it, that last game seven of the Bulls and Sixers.
Game
six, between the Bulls and Sixers, and just looking back at those Doug Collins, you know, show your love Sixers with Spencer Hawes and Elton Brand.
That's the first name you say? Spencer Hawes is the first name that comes
to mind. You know what it is? He always used to throw the three up, that show your love three after every – I think he had adopted the show your love feeling more than anybody else. Yeah, I mean, of course.
Lou really adopted it, Lou Williams.
All right. There we go. But maybe I didn't mention Lou Williams because it's a bitter. I feel bitter about Lou Williams.
I understand that.
It's like, man, like, you draft a guy out of high school, you put him under the wing of one of the best point guards to ever wear a Sixers uniform, and then you just let him walk away in off season. Like, it just doesn't quite make as much sense. But
Doug Collins, listen, man, and Doug Collins, you know, probably a pretty good coach, but some of the personnel stuff I will never understand. Like playing your boy LaVoy Allen over Nick Vucevic. Wow. And then like, it's just – think about this. If they don't make the Bynum trade, they still have Iguodala. They get Mo Harkless, who's turned into a solid NBA player. They'd still have Vucevic. Maybe you re-sign Lou Williams. You still have Drew Holiday. I mean, that's – there's some basketball players. I'm not saying they would – I mean, listen, I think not long – like, you know, that's when Miami Heat became the Heatles, but like, that wouldn't have been a bad team, and it wouldn't have been a bad team to watch. I'm just saying.
I hope he won't mind. I don't think he will, but one of our producers, Sean Kane, does a fabulous job with the Phillies, or really anything that he's a part of. And he used to call him Dougie Naismith, bro. And that used to just kill me because he just act like he invented the game. I'm not playing rookies. And, you know, the way he would talk is you know, he had such a grasp that no one else would have of who should play when and how the lineup should work and things like that.
You remember he loved Kwame Brown so much?
What do you mean?
He loved Kwame Brown.
He was dedicated to him. He was the reason Kwame was in the league his last few years, because I felt like he, like, you know, the Sixers signed him as a free agent, I think. I think Warriors. He was with the Warriors or something, and the Sixers brought him on. You know, obviously, Doug Collins was the head coach of the Wizards when Michael Jordan was with the team, and they drafted Kwame Brown with the number one overall pick.
I think he also had, like, power. Like, I think Doug Collins, like, drafted Kwame Brown. Like, I think he had – like, he was, like, team president, too, or something. So he drafted Kwame Brown.
But I always got the feeling that was, like, a Larry Hughes, you know, I promise I'll take care of you type situation. Not the drafting of him, but the fact that –
right,
Doug Collins. Right, exactly. And Doug Collins brought him into the fold when nobody probably else would, because he kind of, you know, took a liking to him or wanted to, like, shepherd him through, you know, that end of his career or whatever, because he had drafted him at one time or another. But time's going by, man. But I think I was bringing up those Show Your Love Sixers to talk about the fact that it had been so long that they have had players in the pipeline that were homegrown and can show dividends and prove their worth with the team. You know what I mean? Like you look at that, you know, yeah, LaVoy Allen, you know, all do it. I think they got what they could out of him, but who else was on that team that I'm forgetting that they kind of maximized? But
I mean, I think we kind of named, I mean, mostly everybody. I mean, Evan Turner, but
that's a painful memory.
Yep.
Number two, didn't pay him, but Portland played him. So
that's true.
And
the Evan Turner thing, anybody could have made that mistake, but once again, it's the Sixers.
It wasn't a good draft.
A beautiful segue, though, of the one move you felt like the Sixers should you would redo if you could. The one move the Sixers franchise has made that you wish could be a do-over. Evan Turner could be a choice for some of you out there. We'd love to hear you guys chime in on that number two overall pick. Had a chance to get Paul George as well as Boogie Cousins. I think someone else was in that draft as well. But what do you make of that, Paul? Is there a person that or a situation, scenario? I mean, you mentioned the Andrew Bynum thing a few minutes ago. Is there anything that sticks out to you that you would just love to do over?
Well, it's everyone's. It's the number one on every Sixers fans list, and it's the year that they drafted Larry Hughes. You had a chance.
Larry Hughes.
You had a chance to get two Hall of Famers, and you passed on both Larry
Hughes. Not number one on everyone's list, though. But go ahead.
How is that not? You could have paired Allen Iverson with either Paul Pierce or Dirk Nowitzki. And you took Larry Hughes because, and Larry Brown's even admitted this, only because you told him you'd take him. He said that Paul Pierce was number two on their draft board. Number two! And they passed him up to take Larry freaking Hughes. Right. With all due respect to Larry Hughes, two Hall of Famers that you could have paired with Allen Iverson. And then that's what happened. Now, and I hear, because like, there's other things that I think are interesting to talk about. Like the one I said on social media, which would have been interesting. They drafted Sherrone Wright out of Clemson, who turned out to be nothing. Eddie Jones was in their freaking backyard, and they didn't take him. And he turned out being a multiple-time All-Star, one of the better two-way wings of his era. Had some really good years with the Lakers, then with the Heat and the Hornets. But then the issue is there. Then it's the butterfly effect of, well, if you would have drafted Eddie Jones, would you have eventually ended up with Allen Iverson, which is a world that I don't want to live in. So I don't like to really go there. But to me, number one has to be not drafting either Paul Pierce or Dirk Nowitzki to pair with Allen Iverson. You drafted freaking Larry Hughes.
Considering the transcendent talent and just movement machine that Allen Iverson was, it's just criminal to think of all the opportunities they missed to provide proper support for him and the just – scoring machine that he was, because you paired him in back-to-back draft. Well, they drafted him back-to-back years, Jerry Stackhouse, Allen Iverson, that for everyone's memory, that didn't work out at all. That historically was just a huge bust because it just turned out to be a backcourt nightmare. They ended up trading Jerry Stackhouse, not getting much in return. But in that same draft, you know, they could have took in, instead of Stackhouse, maybe they got Rasheed Wallace or Kevin Garnett and then paired him with Iverson. And actually, maybe they wouldn't have been the number one, had the number one pick. But it's just you can just go on down the line with all those missed opportunities. But I said that's not the number one thing in a lot of people's minds, because I have been inundated since birth from my dad and anyone else of that ilk who will listen of the curse of Moses Malone, bro. So, I mean, you know, you get this guy to pair him with any NBA or basketball, with anyone with any type of NBA basketball knowledge will consider that 83 Sixers roster one of the greatest rosters of all time. And let alone the next year, they had Charles Barkley. They got Charles Barkley in the draft the year after winning a championship with Moses Malone. But they decide to trade Moses at his peak instead of just milking him or keeping him in the fray for a few more years to kind of win another title. And then they don't win another title since then. Or, which my dad has said, I haven't had a dominant big man since then. Enter Joel Embiid. So that part of the curse is over. But man, I think the Moses Malone thing, man, they really screwed that up because, you know, I don't know, man, sometimes you get into these discussions with other teams, they talk about the, you know, maybe they're a Lakers fan or Celtics fan or what have you, and they're talking about the dominance of their teams and, you know, all the best teams. And that Sixers team with Doc and Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney, they went to
Bobby Jones.
They went to championship upon championship upon championship and lost all the way up until they got Moses in 83, won the whole thing, and then got rid of him.
Yeah, no, it didn't make any sense. And like you said, then you wound up getting Charles Barkley, so that era could have kind of had more life.
It would give me great bragging rights as a Sixers fan. We were dominant in the 80s. We beat Magic Johnson, but haven't had Magic come in here and do what he did to them in the 82 championship. And then, go ahead.
No, keep going, because I'm
just frustrated talking. maybe I'm babbling a little bit, but you get Magic and him and all his excitement and prowess, and he plays center, and they win the championship on the Sixers floor. And then they come back the next year and bring in Moses, and he goes to fo-fo-fo. And they just – it's just one of the greatest – and then they go and win the championship on the Lakers floor the next season, the iconic moment with Mo Cheeks dunking and then running back down the floor. And then you would think they would run it back. Can we run it back? But no. No dominance. You bring in Charles Barkley. You don't get – that's just frustrating, man. I just think back on it. But
yeah, well, two things to that. One – there was a really good – I think it was like just NBA TV did a documentary on Dr. J, and it was great. And something I didn't know, because obviously I was born in 85, so I missed how great Doc was in his prime. But the narrative on Doc before they had won with Moses in 83 was, he can't get it done.
The Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Yes, he was the Buffalo Bills.
But it's just funny when you think about now with, like, the current team, and, like, people are already saying, like, oh, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons never going to win a championship. Yo, people were saying that stuff about Dr. J back in the day. When, you know what I mean? When he was, like, 28, 29 years old, people were saying that. And right now we have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid here, and they're 23 and 25, respectively, and people are trying to already say they can't do it. And then on top of that, when anyone talks about wanting to separate those two or trade those two, which one would you trade? Think about how disastrous all of the trades of star players in this city have gone.
Yeah.
Going back to Moses Malone, Charles Barkley, then even to a lesser extent, Andre Iguodala. Every trade of a big player.
You mean Jeff Hornacek and Tim Perry? That didn't do it for you.
But like every
Andrew
every,
Lang.
Every trade of a big player that the Sixers have made has gone horribly. You never get equal value for a star player. It just does not happen. So even entertaining the thought of trading either one of those guys right now is so asinine to me. And if you're even thinking about it, it's just dumb. Get it out of your head. You try to win with these two for as long as you possibly can. And then eventually, if one of them wants out or forces a trade, okay, you figure it out. But you need to give this era as long as you possibly can.
Hey, bro, and it ain't getting any easier with KD waiting in the wings. We know he's coming back with a chip on his shoulder, so they might as well have as much unity, camaraderie, firepower as possible. Just wanted to mention the timeline on the Moses-Charles Barkley draft. They traded Moses after the championship and then in the 83-84 season.
Right.
After the 83-84 season, they drafted Barkley. But I don't know, bro. That definitely fits the bill. Do you feel like the Sixers have surpassed those shoot yourself in the foot fate? Like, do you feel like we've reached? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I look at a team like the Miami Heat. Like, I would never consider them not being at the top of their game. You know, not to just picking a name out the hat. I think that they're, all in on championship caliber pedigree, producing the best possible roster and lineup and organization possible. I probably think that way about a few other organizations, the Celtics, Lakers. I'm a little iffy on, but I mean, you catch my drift. Do you feel like you have the full confidence that we have passed some of those? Those tense, tenuous moments with the decisions the team makes, or as far as building the roster or constructing the team.
So just make that simpler for me as far as the question. I'm sorry.
All right, my bad. My point is that does the organization have your full confidence that they are building the team in the best possible way? interestingly enough, coming off the Al Horford free agency decision?
I mean, right now, I would have to say no, only because it seems apparent to me that their money would have been better spent on a player that can create and shoot off the dribble than it was on Al Horford, with all due respect to Al Horford. I will say that I was looking forward to the opportunity, which we may not get, of seeing how this all – they kept saying we're built for the playoffs. So I was looking forward to seeing them prove that, and I don't know if they're going to get that opportunity. We'll see, and obviously it's a funky season, so it's, again, going to be tough to judge them completely on that. But, yeah, I mean, you have to question the move of Al Horford. I think that's 100% fair. And you have to question, as of right now, you have to question the move of Tobias Harris if he was the right guy to give the max contract to. I think it's totally fair to question both of those things. I think it's wise that they haven't even appeared to entertain the idea of either trading Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. So I think from that standpoint, I trust them not – I do trust Elton Brand not to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. But as far as a whole, no. I think there's serious questions about whether they can construct a roster that perfect that is equipped to benefit those two all-star players going forward.
And that's the thing I think for me the most – why I would want the Sixers to match up with the Celtics in the first round, because I feel like Al Horford would have incentive – to play well against his former team and have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And maybe that would be kind of the fire to catapult him, you know, through the rest of the postseason. You know what I mean? Like maybe that would start him on, you know, continue to have that competitive edge and competing and, you know, having the effort that we may have, you know, seen falling by the wayside a little bit at certain points during the regular season. So I feel like a Celtics matchup would kind of like start that fire under him, you know, once again. But just always want to mention, Sixers fans, we know you're missing live sports. So all week long, NBC Sports Philadelphia is airing classic games and more recent matchups. We have polls on which games you'd like to see. Make sure you vote. Check out our social accounts for alerts on what game is coming up next. NBC Sports Philadelphia, and always stay connected to your teams with the My Teams app and NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Your quarantine snacks, are they low?
Are they bountiful? I've done a pretty good job of sneaking out every once in a while and going to places and stocking up. So I'm in pretty good shape right now.
It's funny you say that. I know you had a very surreal supermarket experience in the initial stages of the quarantine. So I'm glad that you haven't duplicated that.
Frightening. It was the first time. It was like legit like the apocalypse. It was frightening. It was terrifying. Making light of it right now, but like my anxiety, man. Like when I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my goodness. I for a half a second thought to myself, I'm just gonna leave the shopping cart and walk out. That's completely full. I can't do this. It was like to that point. But I toughed it out. I was like, nope, I'm here. We need this stuff. I gotta do it.
Bro, I am proud of you. I have family members that experienced those same feelings. So I'm proud that you were able to get through for sure, because in a line that snakes 60 people deep, leaving your shopping cart and walking away is always an option.
We were in the frozen – I was in the frozen food section waiting. Like, that's how deep we were in the weeds. It was brutal.
Since you have the intimacy with the supermarket and your snacks are still plentiful, what are your top five quarantine snacks?
Well, I guess I got to first ask – I got to ask for a qualifier. Is beer a snack?
That, bro, it has suds. You can chew it. You can kind of chew that suds. I say yes, beer. I know you have a specific probably microbrew you're drinking right now, so I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, well, so my favorite local brewery is a spot called Tonewood. It's in Oakland in South Jersey. And they are still up and running. They're still pounding out beers, and they're still selling. So what they have is, and it's very smart on their part, they have it so you can go to their website, order online, and then put in your pay online. So All you gotta do is show up, tell them your name, flash your ID at them, so you don't gotta touch anybody, you don't have to go within 6 feet of anybody. They put the beer up on the thing, you grab it, you go. You don't even walk in. Like, it's a perfect setup.
So, are there any specials? Are they hitting you with any specials or anything?
Nah, I mean, no, it's no specials.
Any BOGO?
Nah, dude, this is real beer. It's, you don't get BOGO or real beer. Nah, but they, I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm a big fan of the, you know, the New England style IPAs, double dry hop stuff, and they're very good at that. It's very style. They're very good at, so it's something I've enjoyed drinking.
So the New England IPA and the double dry hop stuff, does that alternate 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on your list? Is that how we're saying that?
Yeah, I mean, no. So listen, beer's number one, because that's just, you know, I'm sitting around drinking beers. That's just like, and it's just so easy. Like, you're sitting around watching stuff on Netflix. It's like, ah, you know what? I'm going to crack open a beer right now. Or like last night I took the grill out a little bit and did some grilling. I was like, ah, you know, I'm going to crack open a beer while I'm grilling. So there's that. But then, you know, other than that, I'm a big Snickers ice cream bar fan.
Woo! Look at you going with the goat of ice cream bars.
Snickers ice cream bars, we're all loaded up on those.
Too sweet sometimes?
Nah, dude.
Nah.
I'm all in. All in on the Snickers ice cream bars. Then just like little stuff. Like, as I mentioned, I'm a big cereal guy. So let's see. I'm looking at it right now. I got some Corn Pops.
Now, wait. Now, are we talking, is this dry cereal consumption with milk or both?
So with milk, but I'll occasionally, like, if I'm like right now, like I'm a little hungry right now. So like maybe it's a little before dinner, I might just have a bowl real quick.
Corn Pops are excellent dry cereal.
Yeah.
Like in a bag, you know what I mean? Just pop.
I'm not big on that personally, I'm not big on dry cereal. I want milk in there. And then I like honey roasted peanuts.
Wait, you never like pour a handful of the cereal in your hand and like pop it in your mouth?
That's not my thing. Nah.
I mean, what?
I need a little milk. I need the experience. Yeah.
Now hold up. Now when you eat your cereal, are you a one bowl kind of guy or are you two bowl?
Depends on how I'm feeling. Depends on how I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I'll go for the second bowl. As I've gotten older, my stomach doesn't do as well with dairy.
Hey, bro.
I've lessened on the two bowl experience. About that.
I am anti milkshake altogether. So
yeah, I get it.
We got cereal, the brew, the ice cream bars. I think we're missing a few here. Two more.
So honey roasted peanuts.
Oh,
big into the honey roasted peanuts.
Honey roasted, not the
plain, honey roasted. Honey roasted. I like the little bit of
the brand. Salt.
I just go Planters, straight Planters. Okay. Nothing too fancy.
Can't go wrong with that.
Nah. And then I just
R.I.P. Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, or he's back to life or something. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
and then other than that, I just like chip. Like I always have like toast, like tortilla chips sitting around, like a little salsa or like a little pan queso. You know what I'm saying?
Are you now the tortilla chips? Are we Tostitos, blue corn? Are we doing the scoops? Like what?
So I roll with the whole grain Tostitos, which is not
quality.
My choice.
Yeah, no, they're fine. I've had those.
My living partner choice.
Well, you gotta balance it out somehow.
Yeah, and that's what. And like, I'll just get like the straight regular salsa, and then maybe spice it up and get some cheese. And
Once you slather it with the salsa or the cheese, that really doesn't make a difference.
It does.
Honestly, yeah.
It's all.
So, and sometimes, at certain times, it becomes more about what you're dunking it in than the actual vehicle.
Oh yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? Like you start loving the cocktail sauce with all the horseradish more than you're actually eating the shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Like
And now I'm getting hungry.
That's what after the podcast is for. But 1 through 5, I'm gonna go 5 to 1 for me. 5, you gotta have some type of frozen something that's easy to, you know what I mean? Like not something that's perishable. Like so, I have like the high end chicken nuggets or the high end tater tots.
Okay,
you know what I mean? It's just something that's frozen that you can pop in easily. So,
With your situation with kids.
The youngsters,
So. You got to always have that stuff on hand. See, for us, I used to eat that stuff all the time when I was single and living on my own because it's just easy and it's there. But the little lady has put the kibosh on me buying that stuff, so I cannot have that.
This definitely fits the bill for us. And then after that, I got to have some good chips. I'm talking about hot chips. Some type of chips, tortilla chips stuff with that category. Tortilla chips can get old with no salsa though, so that's always mandatory.
And then after that,
of course, who salt and vinegar? That works every time. at the number three, I need some leftover pizza. I need something I can stick in the oven and bring back to its almost normal state. So I need like a good pizza, some type of reheatable something that can come quickly. Because I cook a lot, so like, you know, it's not always I got to get the rice and the vegetables and all that. Like, I don't want to have to reheat a whole meal. So I just want something that I can quick and easy pop in. My top two, and it's not a food, but I got to have a great beverage. So I like the Pure Leaf iced tea. I like some lemonade. Sometimes I go Arnold Palmer and mix the two. Okay. But you know what I'm saying?
So okay.
I just need something, a good ice cold beverage I can sip on. Because sometimes you don't always need something to eat. You know, you might need a quick little, like a nice cold drink or something to kind of like keep you going a little bit. And then for number one, it's got to be the barbecue, bro. I mean, I think that I know you just bought a barbecue, and you know I have a cute. Just having the access to the barbecue grill and whatnot, I think, is just crucial. So I'm gonna go barbecue is number one.
I get it. Are you enjoying some adult beverages of any kind? What is your go-to for that?
The Jack, the what I spilled on my computer is what.
Right.
That is my go-to.
Low-end whiskey, got it.
Yeah. Hey, man, it does the trick. The Honey Jack does the trick. But hey, as always, we appreciate you guys listening to Sixers Talk Podcast. Please continue to download us wherever you get your podcasts or NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. For Ben Berry and Paul Hudrick, I'm Danny Pommels. We will see you next week with more Sixers Talk. Thanks for listening.